Thankful for your church.
Amen.
Thankful for your church family.
Amen.
Now, you see how important you are to the church tonight? You see how important your faithfulness is and your attendance to the church tonight? Now, we realize some people are traveling, some are away. It is a holiday time. We understand that. But the fact is, if you were not here, okay, and especially those that are families, okay, with the children and all, if the family were gone, you'd leave quite a hole, wouldn't you?
Sure would.
And so we are thankful for each other. But looking at Ephesians chapter 4, we'll look at several things here tonight regarding the matter of being thankful for the church family. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Ephesians 4, 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Now you notice I emphasized the word body, because one of the things we have to be thankful for is that God calls the church, he likens it to a body, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. God puts us together. Not one person that's here tonight is unnecessary or unimportant. You may not feel very important, but it does not matter how we feel about ourselves. It's what God says, and God says the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're all important for the edification of this church and for this matter of love. And so the church is likened to a body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12, it talks about the body. And it talks about each one being a member of the body. Member of the body, meaning like hands, feet, eyes, ears, and so on. And it tells us that everyone there is important. And just because somebody is not a hand, they can't say, I'm not important because I'm only a foot. Every part of the body is important. Now, Sister Sharon has learned that with her recent foot surgery. Pat knows that from her broken leg. Oh, and she's got another one, you know, and she's thankful for that other one. She had heard about a lady who had broken one leg and one arm, and it was a real struggle. And so every part of our body is important. And that's what God tells us in that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, where it says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You're the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. This local assembly is the local evidence of the body of Christ. And I believe there's a worldwide family of God, but the local body of Christ. And he tells us there, we are members in particular. But you see, it isn't just a matter, well, I'm a member of the church, I'm part of this local body of Christ, but it can exist without me. Well, maybe it can exist without you, but you are a member in particular, God says. You know, you could do without your right arm. You wouldn't die if you lost your right arm. But it would make life very difficult, wouldn't it?
That's good.
It would be very hard to live. I've known people that have lost a finger. And the adjustment to functioning without just that one little finger. Well, now, you say, just a finger? Well, that's the way we tend to think. You know, if it's a little, it can't be that important. You know, and that one finger, in comparison to a whole arm, say from the shoulder down, you see the relative. But the fact is, you're important. Okay? Now listen, I'm not just talking to the adults. You boys and girls, definitely. You young people, you're important. You say, well, how important can I be, you know? Well, in a sense, there's a sense in which you are the very life of this church. Because the older folks are going to die off. And then the ones who are just beginning old age, they're going to die off too. And then us younger ones. We're going to die off too. So what's left of the church?
That's right.
You see, it's the younger generations. Each generation is important. And one generation learns from another generation. That's why it's important that us older ones, us adults, need to be setting the right kind of example.
Amen.
In personal godliness, personal living, but also in church life. Our young people are watching us. What do they see of us? And our church life. Our church involvement. What do they read between the lines of the things they hear us say about the church? About the church leaders? Do they hear, oh, hey, listen, I'm not talking so much here in these four walls, but in the four walls of their home. What are they hearing about the church and church leaders? Because that's going to set their trend for the future of this church. And there may, if when a church dies, there's many things that are involved in the death of a church. But one of them, I'm convinced, was the home life of the younger generation.
Oh, yes, sir. That's right.
If they don't find anything worth having, worth living for and participating in, why should they try to keep it alive?
Right.
Tradition is no longer adequate. There was a day when and it was just something you did because that's what you did. Well, we're living in a different day. And you do what you want to do when you want to do it. And there's only one solution regarding the church for that, and that is a right heart with God. Because then he gives us the desires of our heart. And we then serve him. And so you're important to the church. Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. Romans chapter 12 and verse 5. Now again, we're still looking at the body and body life. Romans 12 and verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ. And every one members one of another. That's interesting, isn't it? He tells us there, we are, the many of us make up the body of Christ. Now that's a truth, that's basic. But then look what also it says. And every one members of what? The one body? Well, yes, we know that's true. But what he tells us here, everyone members one of another. So you see, it isn't just a matter of being a member of the church, and I'm not thinking there so much of official membership as I am a born again saved person that's a participant and an attender of a local church. But we are members one of another. We are part of each other's life. And I don't know if I could find adequate words to describe how it is that we are members one of another. Now maybe I can use the fact this is a holiday evening and we know some folks are traveling, and but look at the empty spots.
Amen.
And I miss those people.
Right.
Why? Because we're members one of another.
Amen, brother.
And we feel the effects. Just like we enjoy, don't we, when the church is full, and we, as members one of another, It gives us a good feeling, a good sense, okay? A good idea and thought. Members one of another. Ephesians, back in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Ephesians 1 and verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Now that doesn't mean this building. That doesn't even mean this congregation, though that could be true in another context and setting. But what he's saying here, he'd be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And so the church, which is his body, we are indeed the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. Colossians 1 and verse 24, the latter part of the verse, which says, "For his body's sake," which is the church. For his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, he says in the beginning of verse 25. A minister, a servant. Pastor preached that not long ago, that minister, we generally think of that as a title of a pastor. And it's not inaccurately used, because the pastor is to be a servant of Jesus Christ, a servant of the church. And so we are indeed part of the body, his body. Now, there are many benefits and blessings to this matter of the church, to be received from the church. One is that we can worship. When we come together, we are able, through the singing, through the praying, through the preaching, even through the fellowship that we have, we are able to be worshiping before the Lord. I've heard worship described already as worth-ship.
Amen.
Okay, worth. He is worth, worthy.
Amen.
Of our praise and of our adoration. And so we get to worship. We do have fellowship. That's a relationship we have with each other. I preached the last few times in prayer meeting about the matter of fellowship. And we have fellowship. We have an intimate relationship with each other. You see, fellowship is so much more than socializing. Now, nothing wrong with socializing. But if all we got when we came to church, when we came in this building and saw other people and chatted with them and teased with them as we do, and if all we got was that, that would be worth having. But it's only the beginning. Okay? Because when we have fellowship, our hearts are being knit together. And when it is that that socializing ends and fellowship, a more personal relationship happens. I enjoy talking with anyone. I was telling Pat tonight at supper, I was going to tell you what I... Anyway, the job that I have at Kmart, that isn't what I was telling her at supper. She knew that, okay? But I got a seasonal job at Kmart. And what I was telling her at supper was, last night there were two ladies there. And I was walking out through, and I went on the radio to call Mike or John, which are managers. And when I walked by a lady, I said, "Mike, John." I didn't say "or." I just said, "Mike, John." And a lady, I saw her look at me. And I thought, well, that's strange. So I went up through, took care of something, came back. When I came back, she stopped me and she said, "Did you call on the radio for Mike, John?" And then I realized I could see that she was from Salamanca, at least I assumed Salamanca and from the reservation. And she said, my husband's name is Mike John. I said, oh no. I said, it was Mike or John. They are managers. And she said, oh. And then I chatted with her a little bit. And she was said she was looking for a power cart. And I said, well, you know, the lady just took one out. Let me go get it for you. And I went and I got it, brought it back to her. And she began to use it, and I told her that Pat was leery of using them at first, but now she uses them all the time. And she had broken her leg too, and she also was hesitant to use them. But once she started, she too used them. So we just stood there. We were having a nice social conversation, okay? But we didn't have fellowship. You see, fellowship is between believers. At least the way in which the Bible uses the term fellowship. It's between believers. And though I had a nice social time, and then when the store was about ready to close and I came back up front again, and she and an older lady, it may have been her mother that were with her, they were there, and I stepped up to the checkout, and she saw me, and I said, have a good night now. Drive home safely. And she said, well, thank you for your interest. That's nice. And I wanted to tell her, you know, they got a little slip that you can fill out that get hung on a bulletin board looks good for me. but the morning, social. See, now we do that kind of socializing with people at church. But at least for some people, there is a level that is reached that goes deeper than just that. Now, we'd like to think of it for everybody. And it'd be great if it were for everybody. But the point is that one of the benefits of the church is fellowship. And then serving. Through the church, we serve Christ and others. As a matter of fact, if you think of it, service for Christ is generally involving others. You serve Christ by serving others. The church is the primary place that happens, but it's not the only place.
That's right.
In our individual lives, at our workplace or whatever, we can serve Christ by serving others. And then another thing that benefit we get in the body of Christ, the church, and that is instruction. Sunday school teachers spend a week preparing a lesson. And they come and they teach their class. And then from the pulpit and pastor, as he prepares and prays and reads for the messages we get from the pulpit. But there's also our personal study and reading. Personal Bible study. Personal reading of other material that points us to Christ and helps to build the Christian life. This is all a result of the church. You see, even sometimes a person that's been in the church will get sick, and that illness disables them. And I visited a lady today that we've known for many, many years, led her to the Lord. Oh my goodness, it must have been, could have been 40 years ago. I led her to the Lord, and she's in the hospital now. She's not doing well. And I asked her, I said, are you still able to go to church? And she said, no, I've not been there since September. Now, she is praying and reading her Bible at home. But she's doing that at home because of what she got in church. Okay? And so even when we must depend upon our personal time with the Lord, most people have that because of what they had in church. Now, I know that there's people that have been saved listening to a radio or TV program, not been saved and not been part of a church. And so they just started worshiping the Lord in their home because they knew of nothing else. But that's a small number of believers. Most, it starts here. And the body life, there's more to the body life. There's exhortation. Hebrews is where I'm going to turn. And we'll quickly go over these. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. Hebrews 3 and 13. He says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And so we are indeed to build each other up in the faith. Chapter 10 of Hebrews. Chapter 10, I want to read verse 23. He says, "Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Then listen to this. He said, "Let us consider one another." So consideration of each other is part of the body life. We need to be considerate of each other.
Amen.
And then another one is concerned. We need to be concerned about each other. And those two things, consideration and concern, of course, go hand in hand. And he says, to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, today we use the word provoke, and it's a little bit of an agitation. Okay? Provoke here is used in the sense of nudging someone. Okay? If you're agitating them, you're agitating them toward God. But the way we use the word provoke, it has a negative connotation. Not here. Provoke unto love, and the way the word provoke is used today, it's not usually to love. It's usually to get somebody upset and angry. Provoke unto love and unto good works. Good living. See? Good works. Good works can be specific actions that are done. But in the broad sense, it's good living, which then involves good actions. You see? And let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That would include the things we do,
right.
But it's more so the broader sense of good living,
yeah,
that prompts the actions that they observe. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now listen, this is not something of our century or generation. My goodness, back here in the early church, there were people who found it easier to stay home and do something else than to go to church faithfully. Because he's addressing a condition then. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but rather exhort one another. Now, exhortation is an urge to action. If you exhort someone, you urge them to a particular action. And he tells us here that we are to exhort one another. So much the more. Exhort one another. Now the pastor exhorts, the Sunday school teacher exhorts, but we're to exhort one another. I'm to encourage you. You're to encourage your spouse. You're, as a parent, to encourage your children. Young people are to encourage each other. We do that by setting an example. We do that by the choices that we make. When we could choose to do this, we'll do this because it would more likely please God and it sets a better example for someone. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, you know, there's times where we'll sin because we didn't really know about it. We sin because it may be a weak point in our life. And sin is not good. But boy, when we sin willfully, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth. Okay? I mean, we know what the truth is. We know what God wants on something. And we knowingly, willingly do wrong. Now there's no more sacrifice for sins. There's nothing more that God can do. He died on the cross. He sent the Holy Spirit. He taught us what is right. Now we are to, see, we're to encourage each other. Now that, and I don't mean that walk up to somebody and start preaching to them. But just be encouraging to them. And whatever, you say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, I don't know how to tell you either. But I know somebody who does. The Holy Spirit.
Right.
And you don't have to go find him because you know he lives in you. So it's a matter of just asking him, Lord, how can, you know, he puts somebody on your heart and mind. Think about somebody. In a given week, somebody may come to your mind three times. That's not a coincidence. Don't think about it. Isn't that something? I haven't thought about them for a long time. That might be the Spirit of God prompting you at least to pray for them and then maybe to encourage them. Give them a telephone call. You know, I can imagine women doing that. But I can also imagine there aren't many men that would do that. And yet we ought to.
That's right. Good.
Just give them a call. Hey, Fred, you home? No. I mean, Fred answered the phone. You home, Fred? No, I'm not. But anyway, I've been thinking about you. You've been on my mind lately, and I prayed for you this morning, and I just thought I'd give you a call and let you know I appreciate you. You figure, well, how big can that be? Well, imagine if somebody did it to you.
Yeah, that's right.
You see? If you're a note writer, buy a postcard and write a note. You want it to be more personal, put it in an envelope. Not the postcard. Put the note in an envelope and mail it to them. There's different ways, but the Spirit of God will tell you what to do and who needs it to be done. And that doesn't mean there'll always be somebody that is going to be putting on you. But when he does, we need to follow through. And so burden bearing, that's another. I'm going to end with this back in Galatians chapter 6. I'm glad you think there's an end coming to it, huh? Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I always found this interesting. I'm going to close with this. That's a promise I'll keep. Verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is frequently identified as the law of love that we're to have through Christ. All right, bear ye one another's burdens. And one way we do that, verse 1 talks about if a man be overtaken in a fault, those who are spiritual should restore them and not look down our nose at them, but consider it lest we'll end up in the same shoes. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Now look at verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Boy, that sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens. And here it says, well, bear your own burdens. You see, there's some burdens we can bear with another person. There's some we can't.
Right.
And even those that we can bear with another person only to a certain extent, they must bear their own burden.
That's right. That's good.
You can't bear them for them. But this is what you get in the body of Christ. This is what you get out of the church. It's so much more than just attending services. It's so much more than just giving an offering.
Try it.
It's a way of life.
Right.
And it's the best way of life.
I like it.
We're going to close by singing page 509. Come, ye thankful people, come. Page 509. Come, ye thankful people, come. Raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. Years ago, 45, 50 years ago, we attended churches that would have a harvest day. I don't know if any that remember Black Creek from way back. Jennifer, I guess you're the closest one that might remember harvest day. They would have a set day, usually in October, and people would bring various food items and set them around, non-perishable, okay? They decorate with pumpkins and corn shocks and things. Ever do that here that you remember? Not you remember, okay. But it was to focus on God's goodness and provisions. And often this song would be sung. Let's sing it tonight before we go home. Pastor, would you please dismiss us tonight?
Father, I thank you that we can come. Thank you that we can come in thanksgiving. Thank